WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Neither side is budging to win the government shutdown, and the White House continues to insist that layoffs will happen. CBS's Olivia Rinaldi reports.
It's kind of just a waiting game to see when these layoffs happen, if they happen, who they target, and whether or not, you know, depending on if the government can reopen, if these are going to happen at all.
Illinois and the city of Chicago have sued the administration over plans to deploy National Guard troops. CBS's Asha Qureshi reports they're alleging ICE agents have already used brute force during raids,
causing all kinds of problems. And also, they say that it's caused fear, unrest, and economic harm. The state is asking a federal judge to block the deployment immediately.
Talks are underway in Egypt on the U.S. peace plan for Gaza. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
The president wants to see a ceasefire. He wants to see the hostages released. And the technical teams are discussing that as we speak.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers says he will consider taking executive action to address the impacts of the federal government shutdown if needed. According to a WisPolitics report, Governor Evers told reporters he'd specifically consider taking executive action to address issues with health care that arise amid the shutdown during a visit to Brown Deer last week. He referred to using state resources to keep Wisconsinites healthy as low-hanging fruit and argued extending the Affordable Care Act tax credits shouldn't be a big thing for Republicans to accept. Quick Trip has announced it will no longer accept pennies at their locations as a result of a U.S. Department of Treasury announcement earlier this year. The Department of Treasury announced in May that it would stop minting copper pennies in an effort to phase out the coin, leaving a number of Quick Trip locations without pennies needed for change. Going forward, Quick Trip locations will begin rounding down the total of all cash purchases to the nearest 5 cents. Digital or card-based purchases will continue to be processed as the exact purchase amount. A Rice Lake resident is facing felony charges in relation to allegedly leading law enforcement authorities on 3 separate high-speed pursuits over the last month. According to Barron County Court documents, 22-year-old Jevin Ricci was charged with 3 felony counts of attempting to flee or elude an officer last week. He's accused of fleeing from police on his motorcycle on September 7th, 8th, and 27th, reaching speeds as high as 125 miles per hour. Authorities say they terminated all 3 pursuits for his own safety. A Dallas man charged with making terrorist threats after threatening to shoot staff members at the Rice Lake Veterans Administration Center has been sentenced to 2 years of probation. 39-year-old Jonathan West entered into a plea deal at a hearing on Thursday, pleading guilty to felony making terrorist threats and misdemeanor unlawful phone use. According to court documents, West had called the Rice Lake facility multiple times the day of the incident and is accused of making similar threatening statements to 2 other VA offices. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Game 2 is tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs in the NLDS. Milwaukee winning Game 1, 9-3 on Saturday. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Well, I mean, we're down 1-0. Nothing else changes besides that. It's 1-0. I don't think, I'm not sure we'd manage the game differently on Monday, up 1-0, down 1-0. So it I'm not sure it does. We made it harder for ourselves. We got to win 3 out of 4 now. They got to win 2 out of 4. That's it.
The Cubs will start Shota Imanaga. Brewers manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Murph, what are your pitching plans?
Yeah, Ashby's going to start. I don't know if Priester will be next. I really don't.
NFL, the Packers back at work after having a bye week. They host the Cincinnati Bengals Sunday at 3:25. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Monday afternoon. Could have a sprinkle or two out there. Otherwise, highs in the lower 60s, a light north breeze. Tonight, clearing skies across the area. Lows will drop to around 40. On Tuesday, sunshine mid-60s. It's 60 at our studios.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Actor, writer, and my son, Joe Schwabba. Do you have a favorite one-hit wonder song, Joe?
I don't know. That's not great radio.
30
I'm
seconds.
Giving you right
what,
now.
But, what does the Fox say? We grew up kind of in the same era, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what does the Fox say? Or Gundam Style?
Oh, those are terrible.
That's songs. Another one? Oh, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin farmers, how are they faring? The fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is 93.5 The Tap.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Monday, October 6, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome into the old world headquarters downtown Madison, Wisconsin, at the crossroads of State Street and Fairchild. Overcast day. Fall has arrived, Mr. Zommers. Welcome into hour number two of the big broadcast on the Sam Davidson Street Cam. For those watching online, look at that beautiful shot there. A little cockeyed. I set the camera up today. It was like Grandpa used to say, don't be like the cockeyed seamstress. You couldn't menstruate.
Yeah, got to be careful when you're setting up cameras.
Got to be careful of that. There are a couple of cars going by. Not a lot of activity downtown Madison today, at least people. Pedestrian traffic. Maybe people are staying inside, Somers, after the beautiful weekend that we had in Wisconsin.
Maybe, especially because at least on my way in today, it was drizzling a little bit. So maybe people are just like, tut tut, it looks like rain, and they're staying inside.
It could be. It was a couple of sprinkles earlier, but it's that time of year, a little fall-like. Gonna be a football game. By the way, it's homecoming week here in Madison for the University of Wisconsin Badgers. And some breaking news, and I'm not sure whether this is good or bad, because you always like national coverage, generally speaking, for our state, for our athletic programs. It's just been announced, according to Channel 3000, WISD-TV here in Madison, the Wisconsin football team will host top-ranked Ohio State on October 18th, and you can catch the game live on CBS. The action will kick off at 2:30 in the afternoon. So the big Wisconsin-Ohio State game on October 18th here in Madison will be a prime time, at least prime time afternoon Saturday football viewing. It'll be the key game on CBS at 2:30. First, though, the Badgers face Iowa, or as my granddad and grandma used to say, Iowa. They face Iowa this Saturday for the homecoming game. It's a night game, 6 o'clock at Camp Randall. You can hear it on many of our stations. Iowa taking on Wisconsin, 4 o'clock for the pregame show, just after 6 for the kickoff on RCE in Richland Center, LAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and WRPN in Rippin' Good Cookies, Wisconsin. How about that? So that's coming up. I'm going to the game. You're going with me, Zommers, courtesy of our friend Trigvy Olson, who will be in town. I think he's going to join us on the show on Friday. That'll be a lot of fun. And also, other breaking news I can now confirm via Our co-executive producer, Chris Pauls, he has booked, and this is, I've been wanting this for a long time, for a guest. I can tell you that if you've ever gone to a Badger football game and heard, first and 10 Wisconsin.
First and 10 Wisconsin.
There you go. The man behind that voice is Mike Mankey. Mike Mankey, and he is going to be here on Friday.
That's awesome.
We're going to interview Mike Mankey and find out what it's like to be the voice of the Badgers on the PA side, both for football, he does volleyball, basketball. So Mike Mankey will be here from the University of Wisconsin-Madison PA announcer. So I can't wait. That'll be a lot of fun. I think Brady Ewing may be along as well, former Badger and NFL veteran talking about homecoming. I hope that the Badgers can win this one. It'd be great to win the homecoming game. I'm pulling for them. I want them to win. But as our sports reporter Mike Clemens reported, they lost at the Big House over in Ann Arbor on Saturday. Michigan 24 and Wisconsin 10. And Luke Fickell chose to start the number three, the third string quarterback in that game. And you know what? The Badgers went down, scored first, 7-0. I did not get to see much of it for another, I'll tell you why in a minute. But the Badgers play, look, I'm not hating on the players at all. I think they're giving it their all. They played Michigan tough at Ann Arbor. And at 24-10, 3 minutes left to go, Wisconsin has the ball. And all three timeouts. And Coach Fickell decides to essentially wave the white flag and not use any of those timeouts. You're down two scores. And I think what it says to your players is there's no fight left in you, or at least that's the message you're sending. And that was the takeaway from a lot of Badger fans on Saturday was, hey, you know what? The players showed some progress. Give them credit. But now why is Fickell essentially giving up? So
you just don't do that.
Very, very frustrating on the part of the head coach of Wisconsin. So I'm hoping everything comes together and they can get a win this Saturday against Iowa for the homecoming game. Let's hope that.
Hopefully. Hopefully he at least doesn't throw in the towel.
Right. And you can hear the Badgers on the Civic Media app as well if you're not living in one of those cities that I mentioned. So tune us in. If you don't have the app, you can download it on your Apple or Android device. It's free. It's what Gail King calls a deal over there at CBS. We'll see. That's a whole other kettle of fish. But with the changes happening at CBS, I'll be interested to see. Her contract is up in May. I'll be interested to see whether Gail wants to go another round with these people.
Or whether or not they want her to.
Well, yeah. I just think that Gail's going to, I don't know her, obviously, but from what I read and have admired her career over the years, I just don't know that she's going to want to be part of this new CBS.
Well, a lot can happen between now and May.
It can, as we know. It can be a lifetime, indeed. A much shorter time tonight. If you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, got my Brewers October baseball stuff on. Got the Euchre jersey up here in the studio today. Brewers in game two of the NLDS against the Chicago Cubs. Pregame starts at 7:30. That's right. It's a late game tonight. First pitch just after 8 o'clock at AmFan Field. You can hear that one only over the air on RCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. So dial it in there on those great stations. Looking forward to the crew getting at it tonight. Going to do a what's worse for you in just a minute, but going to ask for your indulgence for a couple of moments. Don't normally do this. Don't do it too often. I don't think Zombers.
No.
But I do this for one reason. Two, I guess. Number one, to say thank you. And number two, just to talk about the subject of opportunity. Was very honored, humbled to go back to Richland Center this weekend for the University of Wisconsin-Richland Alumni Gala Dinner that happens every fall. Because I started out my comments on Saturday saying, I think there had been a great mistake happen, and they ran out of people to nominate. I was chosen along with four other people as outstanding alumni of the University of Wisconsin-Richland for 2025. My fellow nominees or my fellow honorees Ken Hansen, class of 1965 at UW, at County Teachers College. Jane Goplin Kinney, class of 67. Terry Kenothi, class of 76. And Julie Brock Stebbins, class of 1973. I am the class of 1991 at UW Richland. Very honored, very humbled. I don't know that I deserved it, but what it did give me is an opportunity to thank a lot of people in my life who, if I've had any success professionally or otherwise, it's because of them. And so I use my time, and I'll give you a shortened version here, that what the campus to me means, and yes, I've talked about it on this show, my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, was one of the key people that started, that got that campus built in the late 60s. She went on to be the first woman to serve as dean of a UW system campus in Wisconsin. The student center was named after her, the Marjorie Wallace Student Center. Very, very proud of my grandmother. Broke glass ceiling, certainly for women in this state. And to attend that university and go to school there, it gave me the opportunity for a kid who grew up in a small town to meet people from other countries. The Central American Scholarship Program, which was helped to be started by former, the late Dean Tom Oates, Dr. Tom Oates, and Linda Gentis, who you've heard me talk about, passed away about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And had it not been for those people bringing the Central American Scholarship Program there, I would not have met a lot of people that are my friends that I call family today, including my two godsons, whose mom was originally from El Salvador and whose dad is from Spring Green, who went to that university. That's how I met them. And then I had all my professors there. Gene Burkett, by the way, my English professor and theater professor, at 97, I believe, was there at this luncheon, and she is going to be back on the stage for the Community Players Theater for their latest production this fall. And she is sharp as a tack.
Still getting it done.
Professor Bob Hershey was there as well, one of the charter faculty. John Poole, the great recruiter. So many other people. Dion Kempthorne, one of the former deans at the campus. A lot of people to thank there. My public school teachers, Otis Scott, Ken Theed, Ken Lewis, Dr. Jerry Bauer, history professor at the campus. And then I'll skip over the rest. My family, certainly my mom, my sister, my two nieces, Addison and Isabel, my brother-in-law, Mike, who all made the trip from Eau Claire to be there. But I wrapped it up with this. I told this story on the air, so I'll give you the shortened version now. That you'll remember this year we did the show at Green Bay Preble High School for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And we ended the show with having Nikki Vandermullen, the first person with autism elected to the Madison School Board. And she talked about the fact that in sixth grade, teachers told her parents that she never graduated from high school. But her parents fought for her opportunity. And not only did she graduate from college, now she's on the Madison School Board. And so I think that even though Jay Rothman and the Board of Regents and a number of people in the legislature, and quite frankly, I'm disappointed in the governor, Governor Evers, about this, that UW-Richland was closed, the brick and mortar, the bricks and the copper roofs. But our educational facilities in the state are more than brick and mortar. They're an idea, a spirit, the Wisconsin idea. And so even though our little college at UW-Richland after 55 years was closed down, the spirit of that place lives on. It's not about me. It's about all the people that preceded me and came after me. And the fact that the Alumni Association is still giving out thousands of dollars in scholarships to high school kids from Southwest Wisconsin every year to go to college. They're still getting it done. And that's what it's about, in my opinion. In rough times, and public education is being attacked from K-12 through the university. But whatever, anybody listening to my voice, if you have an opportunity to give to someone, do it. It doesn't have to be money. Just give people an opportunity, because that's all a lot of people need is an opportunity. And then they're going to fly. So thanks a lot to the University of Wisconsin-Richland Alumni Association. And I hope this inspires other people to take opportunities. Give people opportunities. We're going to come back, give you our what's worse for today. Don't miss it. Speaking of reunions, are you a high school reunion person? We'll explain to the other side. It's the All Ball Show for a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. All so that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Network 22 now past the hour of 3 o'clock on Monday, October 6, 2025. Glad to have you along. Getting some word from many of our listeners that the app, maybe have a couple of bugs in it. We're working, our fine engineers are all over it. They're on top of it. If you're not getting volume on the old Civic Media app, keep refreshing it, keep trying. You can also find us, I think, still at civicmedia.us. Is that true, Zomers? People can listen there?
Yeah.
All right, so... He's busy trying to fix the problem. Yeah, you understand? Exactly. He's working on it. Civicmedia.us on the Civic Media website. You can check out there. And, of course, on terrestrial radio over many of our fine stations here at the Civic Media Radio Network. By the way, Harvest Moon tonight. Harvest Moon. I was coming back from Richland Center last night as the moon was rising. Andre Bad Moon Rising. One of Chris Berman's best nicknames ever on ESPN. The big Harvest Moon. And it reminded me, my maternal grandfather, Warren Wallace, was a great singer. And my grandma Wallace, we go camping, and there was a song, Harvest Moon. I apologize, but it went, shine on, Harvest Moon, up in the sky. For I ain't had no lovin' since January, February, June, July. Snow time, ain't no time to stay indoors and spoon. Cause I ain't had no lovin' since January, February, June, or July. Harvest Moon. You ever sing that song?
I have not.
Zomers is looking like, neither should you.
No, anyway, I'm just like, I have no idea what that is.
You're a Boy Scout, Eagle Scout. I thought maybe that was a campfire song people would sing.
That's not one that I ever learned, at least. I don't know.
Maybe it was a Richland Center song. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. All right, 24 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. Time once again for What's Worse. Let's go. Yes. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize, money to give away, nothing to, no prizes involved, no cash to give away. You see, it's been so long, Zomers, with the text to win, I forgot how to open this up. It is your chance to have your voice heard on all 10 news talk sports stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, I was back in RC. It wasn't really a class reunion, although the Richland Center homecoming for high school was this weekend, and I think a couple of classes had their class reunion. Oh, here's another. This, I almost forgot this. This is perhaps the best part of the weekend. So, homecoming this weekend, and you know, there's some, nothing destructive, but, you know, kids still toilet paper trees in right. Richland Center during homecoming. And so, mom's house didn't get hit directly because there's no real trees in her front yard, but her next door neighbors got their tree TP'd pretty well. Beautiful job. And it had not rained in Richland Center at all. And so it was all dry, right? And so on Sunday, we go out and mom starts going over. She goes, well, I'm going to take that off the neighbor's tree. It's just going to blow over my yard. So she goes over there and she comes back with half of a toilet paper roll that was unused that just kind of landed in the yard. And she'd wrapped up all this toilet paper by the tree and it was dry. And she goes, well, I'm going to take this in. I won't have to worry about toilet paper for the rest of the week.
You know, fair enough. If it works,
and,
it works.
And if she's listening at home, which she oftentimes is, she's probably saying, now, why would he say that on the air? I said, you're not actually, well, why not? And it, as my brother-in-law pointed out, it was not like cheap, you know, generic toilet. It was like Charmin double quilted. No, it was like Charmin double quilted.
I mean, yeah, then that, you know what? It's free.
Right.
As long as it's not all nasty.
No, it was clean as a whistle. So there you go. There's a little news you can use. Don't knock the TPing of the neighborhood during homecoming because you might be able to recycle.
Reduce, reuse, recycle. That's a reuse right there, I think. Just don't do it in the other order.
Exactly right. All right. Category today, what's worse, high school reunion or no high school reunion? High school reunion or no high school reunion? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What's worse, high school reunion or no high school reunion? You can also text us on the old Civic Media app. Download it for free download it at your Apple or Android device on the App Store. Type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Cute CM logo. Click on that. Takes less than a minute, and it is free. The Civic Media app. What's worse, high school reunion or no high school reunion? Our own Catherine Lake, general manager of WMDX here in Madison, says, of my old Harvest Moon song, she says, if that song isn't a promo, I don't know radio. Well, Catherine knows radio. So I guess there you go. Our work for today is done, Zomers.
I know what I'm doing, yeah.
And by the way, shout out to Catherine Lake and all of our great people. I regret I wasn't in town on Sunday yesterday because they had the big Alzheimer's walk and fundraiser here in Madison. And both Catherine and my family have been touched by dementia and Alzheimer's, as I know many of you have as well. And John and Gordy crew, Dom the Italian Stallion Lee was out there. Did you make it? You did not?
No.
I didn't mean to make you feel bad.
I am so sorry to all of you that couldn't go.
You could go.
Not that I couldn't go, that I forgot. I woke up, I checked my notepad of stuff to do, and I'm like, you know what? That was this morning.
But your intention was there. It was well-intentioned. But congratulations to Catherine, John, and Gordy crew. Everybody here at WMDX. Like Megan was there. Denise was there. A few other people. And raising money for Alzheimer's. Do what y'all can. And I'll hope that it works on my calendar to be there next year to help out. So congrats to all of them. What's worse, high school reunion or no high school reunion? Robert in McFarland says high school reunion as long as we can drink. So what's worse is none then? I guess
what he's saying is that if you can't drink, then having it is worse. Right. But if you're allowed to, then not having it's worse.
Matt in Middleton says having a reunion is worse. Says I would feel pressure to go, and in the cafeteria food. Oh, and the cafeteria food has not improved. More of your answers after this. I'll tell you a high school reunion story of my own. High school reunion or no high school reunion, what's worse? 855-752-4842. Farm News is next to Pam Yonke and the crew.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
If you've been paying attention in the news, you may have heard about the New World screwworm and how it is now within 70 miles of the U.S. border. I'm Ben Jarbo at the Midwest Farm Report, and New World screwworm isn't necessarily new to the U.S., but it has been a while. Jamie Jonker, the Chief Science Officer with the National Milk Producers Federation, is here to share some of the history of this disease and the United States. We'll listen to that right after this.
Don't touch that dial. You are tuned into Whiffles Country WYFF, the station that's been family-owned and fiercely independent for almost 80 years. No nonsense, just common sense and chart-topping corn hybrids coming to farm gates all over the Central Corn Belt. Stay tuned for more Whiffles Country hits like She Thinks My Colonel's Sexy, I Got 99 Problems But Yield Ain't One, and Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Sell Soybeans. Thanks for listening, and remember to keep it independent with Whiffles Hybrids.
Now let's listen into the history of the New World screwworm.
Yeah, so New World screwworm was endemic in the southern parts of the U.S., and we started a very thorough eradication program in the 50s. By the mid-1960s, it was essentially eliminated from the continental U.S. There were still some outbreaks that happened in the 70s, and most recently there was outbreak in the U.S. was actually in the Florida Keys about a decade ago, and the New World screwworm in that case was infecting key deer. We were able to, USDA in the state of Florida, put up control zones, and they used the sterile fly technology to eliminate the flies there.
Jonker says that if the New World screwworm were to make it into the U.S., it may cause mass stoppages in cattle movement. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those closing markets right after this.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Blaine's Farm and Fleet, the original, authentic, still family-owned since 1955. And thanks to Monarch Media Design. The experts at Monarch can do everything from vinyl graphics to full trailer wraps, serving Madison since 2000. Monarch specializes in vehicle wraps and graphics. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how the market's closed. It's a slight mix with cash and new crop corn up 2 3/4 at 421 3/4. But cash new crop soybeans are down 0.25 at 10.17 3/4. December wheat is down 2.5 at 5.12 3/4. Class 3 milk is mixed as well, with November contracts up 5 cents at 16.99 a hundredweight and December contracts down 9 at 17.05 a hundredweight. 40-pound blocks are down 4 cents at 175, and butter is down 5.5 at 169.5. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine for your Monday afternoon. Could have a sprinkle or two out there. Otherwise, highs in the lower 60s, a light north breeze. Tonight, clearing skies across the area. Lows will drop to around 40. On Tuesday, sunshine, mid-60s. It's 60 at our studios.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Malva Cultural Center's Katie Compton, then filmmaker and founder of Chair on Stair Films, Derek Pfister, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tiger tries to put me down and says his school is great. I tell him right away, now what's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school? It's number one in the state.
Welcome back to the Tallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Great song. I haven't heard that in a long time. Thank you, Zomers. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock, Monday, October 6, 2025. Aaron Zomers play the tunes on the board. Be true to your school. We're right in the middle of today's What's Worse, High School Reunion or No High School Reunion? What's worse, having a high school reunion, having to go to that, or not having a high school reunion? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Ollie, listening up in the North Woods. Ollie, hope you had a good weekend. Welcome back to the show. High school reunion or no high school reunion, what's worse?
Well, that's kind of a trick question, isn't it?
I bet, maybe, yeah.
Go to your high school reunion, how will you know what's worse, going or not going?
Right?
I suggest that you be careful, for Terry Barr might have you on Pete's show to sing that Shine On Harvest Moon song.
Right? Yeah. I was a choir kid, you know. I don't have the best voice, but I haven't sung really in a long time. And you see, your voice gets
That's
worse.
That's a great song to sing too.
So you know that Shine On Harvest Moon.
I know it. I used to work in home health, and I worked with a gentleman whose brother would come and sing the ukulele and sing lots of old-time songs.
See?
And that was one of his favorite songs.
Well, thank you. See, I'm not completely crazy.
No, you're not.
Good job. Well, thank you. Thank you. So at the end of the day, what's worse, having a high school reunion or no high school reunion?
Well, I didn't go to my high school reunion. So, but like I said, I think it's pretty hard to decide if you didn't go, which one would be worse.
Right,
it might have been worse if you did go.
Good point, Ollie. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Have a great day up there in the North Woods. What's worse, high school reunions or no high school reunions? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Chris, listening down in beautiful Janesville via WMDX. Chris says, worse is having reunions for years 10, 15, and 20. All right, so but Zomers and I talked about this off the air, because normally it's every 5 years. And you're saying, Zomers, you did not have a 5-year class reunion.
I don't remember seeing anything about it.
Did it happen during COVID?
I graduated high school in 2017, so that would be 2022.
Kind of.
I don't know. Maybe COVID just threw it off, or maybe I wasn't invited, or maybe it went to my spam, or who knows.
Well, I mean, I think everybody, the class, if they have it, you don't necessarily have to get a personal invitation. If it's announced
right, and
you're a member of that class, you're welcome to go.
I don't remember seeing anything about it, but, you know, that might be my fault.
Also, Lori, listening up in beautiful Hayward. Of course, we've done the show there several times for the Birkebeiner and the Lumberjack World Championship with Greg and Jane up there. I love Hayward, a great station, WBZH. Lori, listening in on WBZH in Hayward, I said earlier that my mom had recycled her neighbor's tree got toilet papered, and the toilet paper was in fine shape, and she said, well, I'm going to use this. And I was laughing about this. Mom, have no fear. Lori in Hayward is admonishing me, saying, hey, Todd, I like the way your mother thinks. Waste not, want not. Lori from Hayward. So there you go. Lori on mom's side. Very good. Brett in Brown Deer on WAUK. No reunion is worse because I left school after I got a GED and joined the military. So I never get the invite. Well, that's terrible. You should get the invite, Brett. Come on now. And by the way, thank you very much for your service to our country. Extraordinarily important. I think that's something, as someone who works in military affairs for our former congressman, I think it's something that's not talked about enough today, which is, look, nothing wrong with college, nothing wrong with tech school, nothing going into the workforce, but certainly nothing wrong. In fact, everything right about if you feel a calling to join the military. So God love you, Brett. Thanks for doing that to everybody else who is chooses to go into our all-voluntary military these days. What else we have here? Robert. Yeah, did you make a mistake? Robert McFarland, listening to WMDX, says high school reunion as long as we could drive. Oh, he was apologizing earlier because he said he was driving while trying to text. Don't do that, Robert. Thanks for listening while you drive, but pull over if you're going to text. Megan in Sun Prairie, listening to WMDX, says I never had a formal high school reunion because of COVID. So I guess I'm fine without one. All right, that makes sense. Matt Middleton, reunion is worse. Matt, listening on WMDX, says, I would feel pressured to go, and I'm not sure we read that one as well. Sorry.
On YouTube, though, PJ says, high school reunions are worse. Mm-hmm. In my experience, the high school that I attended always wants to throw their reunions at expensive golf clubs and resorts.
Oh, yeah.
The last one I was invited to was asking for $50 a plate at a golf resort club. I declined the invitation, and they stopped inviting me.
That's terrible.
And apparently his parents' class always had their reunions at a local park with potluck and beverages. See, that's what I would expect.
Right. We've last couple of ones for the class of 88 in Richland Center. I think they do a good job because we get together at a local establishment and it's basically a cash bar and there's some music and if people want to order their own food, they can, but it's very chill. It's very informal. And that to me is because you get to see people and chat and catch up. And I think it gets better the older that you get. People kind of lose the clickiness or whatever, and you just realize we're all people and you get along. So here's my story. Maybe I've told a version of this before, long ago, Zomers. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not going to name names to protect the guilty, but this is years ago. This is like the 10th class reunion, so it was a long time ago. And there was the early ones we had for our class reunion were more formal. And so I was there, and a good friend of mine and his wife was there, and they did not live in the area. And so another classmate of ours was at the bar, and he had had a few too many. And he was talking to my friend's wife, who did not grow up in Richland Center. And he says to her, and I have to kind of, you know, modify this for radio. He, remember, he's had too many, you know, and he goes, yeah, you know, like, it's really good to see you and your husband. And like, you know, you guys should like come more often because like your husband and I could go fishing. And then, like, you and my wife could bake a cake. and she looked at me. I was on the other side of her. And she says, I'm not baking any effing cake.
Good for her.
True story with the names withheld. One of my all-time favorite class reunion moments.
That's very good. See, and that's what I'm missing. I don't have anything like that at the moment.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, like it gets, you know, as you get older, I think people kind of chill out anyway. All right. That wraps up another edition of What's Worse. Join us hour two tomorrow for the final edition of What's Worse. All right. A little newsy news. We had Jane Matner on earlier. Matner on air. I know she and Greg touched on this story this morning, but I wanted to just reiterate it. This from Wisconsin Public Radio. As Congress remains deadlocked on a funding agreement to reopen many federal services, Wisconsin GOP Representative Glenn Grothman says it's time to permanently lay off thousands of government employees to reduce spending. Quote, I would certainly hope that President Trump would step up and let go. Certainly the Department of Defense, probably other departments as well, find 100,000 or 200,000 jobs that are not necessary, unquote. He told Wisconsin's WPR's Wisconsin Today. The federal government employs about 2 million people, about 18,000 of which are in Wisconsin. The White House has signaled thousands of government layoffs could begin as soon as this week as a result of the government shutdown. So Glenn's, and again, you have to really appreciate this guy, that he doesn't hold back. Whether you agree or disagree, he's just going to lay it out there. But I hope the constituents of Congressman Grothman, when they go to the polls next year, that you remember that your Congressman Glenn Grothman was calling upon the president to fire 100,000 to 200,000 people in this country, federal workers, specifically naming the Department of Defense.
That's a big number.
So all you great folks, speaking of our military, and remember, it's not just people who are active duty military. There are all kinds of civilian support people in our military bases of Wisconsin, which we have many.
Well, in his opinion, they are, quote, people sitting in cubicles on a computer. There is a lot of anecdotal evidence out there that these people aren't working that hard, unquote.
Well, remember, Glenn is the only former state senator, Republican state senator, who used to order his staff to work on Martin Luther King Day because he didn't think it was a real holiday. That's true.
Interesting.
So there's that. All right. It's 46 minutes past the hour. Time once again to see what's popping with Robin Voss.
Love to hear the Robin go tweet, 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 rockin' Robin, tweet,
tweet. Time once again for what's popping with Robin Voss. The... I love hearing the popcorn effect. The Republican Assembly Speaker of the State Assembly. He has a side hustle. He's a popcorn guy. He sells popcorn. Not like vending.
Yeah, not door-to-door or anything.
Right. He has a company that... But he doesn't grow it. I think he just is like the middle person.
I believe so.
Yeah. We should actually order... I've never had any of his popcorn. Have you?
No.
All right. This comes to us from Wiz Politics and also from WISN Upfront program, great program on the weekends. Republican Robin Voss, the state's longest-serving speaker, says he's considering not running for re-election next year. Quote, I'm considering it, unquote, Voss told Upfront, which is produced in partnership with Wiz Politics. Quote, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think through, like, I've done this for a long time. How long am I going to be able to do it? I don't know. Now that Tony Evers is leaving, I'm kind of excited about the fact of working with a different governor. So I just have to decide. I won't decide until sometime in January, unquote. Now, this is interesting because I hadn't reported this or talked about it on the air because I hadn't really substantiated it. I heard this rumor a couple of weeks ago what I'm hearing, again, allegedly, well, I heard it, but allegedly, that Voss is considering not just not running again, but actually resigning from the assembly, which would make sense because when you're the assembly speaker, you are in control of what's called RAC, the Republican Committee to Elect or whatever they call it over there. It's the political arm of the assembly. And so if you're not going to run for re-election, you would probably make way for a new speaker for the majority to try to retain that majority, which looks dicey with new maps. We'll come back and discuss that a little bit and talk about orchards on the other side. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Two U.S. Supreme Court cases this term may allow the conservative majority to strike down Voting Rights Act protections of minority voters and one of the few remaining limits to big money campaign spending in federal elections. Louisiana versus Calais, a racial gerrymandering case, returns to the High Court October 15th for additional arguments after initial oral arguments March 24th. Louisiana's black voters won a second majority-minority congressional district under the Voting Rights Act, but a group of, quote, non-African-American individuals appealed the new map, claiming it was discriminatory to them under the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Justices Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas have railed against such minority protections in voting rights, education, and workplaces. Another case, National Republican Senatorial Committee versus Federal Election Commission, attempts to strike down campaign spending limits by party-affiliated groups as a violation of free speech. While national political parties can make unlimited donations to a federal candidate, they are limited in what's called coordinated spending with a candidate, which can include renting venues, sending mail, or most importantly, advertising. It could open another floodgate of money in our elections. The cases have far-reaching implications for equity in our elections process, and we'll be following both carefully in the coming months. I'm Brian Beal.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. You think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. It's exactly what gerrymandering is, but in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes, and they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable word.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is now 8 minutes before the hour of 4 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News, depending upon which of our great stations you're listening to. A check of weather. Fall is here. It'll be a little cooler than last week. A little bit more wet, moist, a little rain in the air, but not washing things out. And then a sports report with our great sports reporter, Mike Clemens, who will be live on the scene tonight down in Milwaukee at AmFam Field. The game number 2 of the National League Divisional Series between the Chicago Cubs visiting the Milwaukee Brewers. Pre-game show kicks off tonight at 7:30 with the first pitch at AmFam just after 8 o'clock. You can hear it on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward, over the air only. We cannot stream it on the Civic Media app because Major League Baseball owns those rights. If you're listening to us on WAUK Milwaukee, be aware, if it hasn't started already, that rush hour traffic is going to be a little crazy because people coming into town both ways, right? Coming up from Chicago and coming down from other parts of the state. So pack your patience, as they say. Traffic around Milwaukee, especially around AmFam, going to be a little heavier than usual for that drive home this afternoon. But wish the crew luck. I feel good about it. And I know they can get it done here, game two, and then all they got to do is win one of the last three of that five-game series. They're on to the championship series, but one game at a time. Brewers tonight hosting the Chicago Cubs, 8 o'clock just thereafter for the first pitch on many of our stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up tomorrow on this program, they have a brand new Capitol reporting, reporter, that is, at Wisconsin Watch. So looking forward to that. She's going to be here talking about a new bill regarding homelessness and veterans. So a very important issue. So be here tomorrow. We'll hear from Wisconsin Watch's new political reporter. Looking forward to that. And all new What's Worse as well.
I wonder if that's the same bill that...
It is not.
No, it's not. Oh, no, I know which one it is, though.
Yeah.
I know which one it is, though.
Ahmaud Rivera's bill, Rivera-Wagner's bill. But no, it's this was regarding specifically for veteran homeless. But I mean, right. they're similar as well, so that'll be good. Quick note, it's the story we're wrapping up about State Representative Robin Voss appearing on the Upfront program over the weekend, saying he's considering not running again for another term in the Assembly. And I said, well, what I'm hearing, unsubstantiated. But as Trump would say, a lot of people are saying that Voss is not only considering not running again, but actually might resign from the Assembly yet in 2026, which would make sense because the leader of your party in either house is the person who is basically in charge of getting incumbents reelected and recruiting new people. So if you're not, if you know you're not going to be there post-election, it would make sense to make way for a new speaker, a new Republican leader in the Assembly, and that person. And PJ, watching on YouTube, says, Robin Voss resigned? That music to my ears. I get it, PJ. You know, but also a little bit of be careful what we wish for. Because, believe it or not, there are more MAGA-leaning people in the Assembly Republican caucus than Robin Voss. Could one of them be the new speaker? And what would that mean for Wisconsin? Time will tell. Zommers also tallied up some news. We talked about the fact that Robin Voss has this side hustle, this popcorn company. And Zommers, you did a little work on this. I did not know this. Give us this factoid.
So in 1996, Robin Voss purchased Rojo's Popcorn, a company in Burlington, Wisconsin. So Robin Voss's popcorn company is called Rojo's.
Which, of course, is the nickname or a nickname for United States Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin. He's often referred to as Rojo, usually by people who don't really like him.
Yeah.
But the fact that Robin Voss's popcorn company is Rojo's Popcorn, as Chris Myers and the late, great Johnny Carson were fond of saying, I did not know that.
It's pretty good, though.
Absolutely. Our friend, my former pastor at Peace United Methodist Church, Sarah Cheney, tuning in via Facebook down in Missouri. Thanks for the congrats there, Sarah. More importantly, she says, go Brewers. That kind of hurts, but it's only fair. That is huge coming from Sarah, even coming from a pastor and with a heart of humility and gold. But still, she is a true red Cardinals fan through and through. But I mean, you can't blame her. I mean, she's from Missouri, right? And so for Sarah to give the Brewers good wishes tonight, that's say that. Wow, I'm impressed, Sarah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you, my friend. Hope you're doing well down there in beautiful Missouri. All right, Zommers, do we have anything else to clean up here before we go? Are we pretty good?
Got apples.
Oh, thank you. Yes, thank you. So I was at Oakwood Fruit Farm yesterday with the family for customer appreciation days, and they have a brand new apple. I have it here in my hot little hands. Well, new to them. They just started growing it here 2-3 years ago, called Rave, R-A-V-E, Rave, also known as First Kiss. And what did Jeff Perry say earlier?
He said he used to dance under the name Rave.
Yes, Jeff Perry said he used to dance under the name Rave and First Kiss. I did not know that either. But here now, let's do a little kind of give one to Zommers. So forgive us for eating in front of you, but listen to this pop. Here we go. Mmm. It drip.
Crisp and juicy.
Absolutely.
Just what you want from an apple, in my opinion.
This could not be better. A great apple. Get out and support your local orchards this fall. And if you're in Southwest Wisconsin, take a trip. One of our great sponsors, Oakwood Fruit Farm. Go see the Lewis's. If they're the Lewis Farm, Oakwood Fruit Farm is the same thing, as it turns out. Great show today. Many thanks to Jane Matt Nair. Listen to her every morning from 9 to 11 on Matt Nair on Air with Greg Bach. Many thanks to Zomers as well. We'll have people from Wisconsin watch here tomorrow. And go, crew! Let's go, Brewers! Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. We'll see you tomorrow on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump just said talks are underway with Democrats on health care, a key sticking point to win the government shutdown.
Now, we have a negotiation going on right now with the Democrats that could lead to very good things. And I'm talking about good things with regard to health care.
The White House earlier said President Trump believes there is nothing to negotiate. The city of Chicago and Illinois have filed suit to stop the deployment of National Guard troops. Governor J.B. Pritzker says the influx of federal agents is already caused headaches.
Trump and the thuggery that his agents have brought has actively made us less safe.
Indirect talks are underway on a U.S. plan to stop the fighting in Gaza. But Haley Ott reports that hasn't happened yet.
An Israeli government spokesperson said that while certain kinds of bombings had stopped ahead of the negotiations in Egypt, there currently is no ceasefire in Gaza.
On Wall Street, stocks finished mixed. CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.